Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Bill sent me a note about a situation out in Utah. I've got stories here from two different entities because one is from before the law got passed and the other one is after the law did get passed. So before it got passed, the Electronic Frontier Foundation and Jason Kelly had suggested that Utah's governor should veto the social media regulations bill, which was listed there as SB 152. And that bill got passed. So here's how it went down. The EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, asked Utah's governor to veto what they call a dangerous social media regulations bill. Utah's bill is part of a wave of age verification laws that would make users less secure and make internet access less private overall. The EFF opposes laws that mandate age verification requirements, and Utah's SB 152 would be one of the worst that they say they've ever seen. The law would require a social media company to stop a resident minor from creating an account unless they have the express consent of a parent or guardian. The law targets any site with over 10 million account holders that allows users to post their own content. And so that would impact many sites that you generally wouldn't consider social media. For example, a site like All Trails, which helps you find and share hiking spots, for example. They requested that the governor veto the bill for four reasons, which they then outlined. One, two, three, four. First, young people do have a First Amendment right to information that SB 152 would infringe upon. If SB 152 is implemented as written, the majority of young Utahns will find themselves effectively locked out of much of the web. I think a lot of people are going to say, yeah, but parents should have the right to control what their kids watch or look at or see. And I'm not saying necessarily that that's the correct interpretation there. I'm simply pointing out that as far as popular opinion goes, most parents are going to say, yeah, but I think that's okay. Second, requiring parental access to accounts of young people will harm privacy and free speech. Access to private spaces online for research, communication, and community are vitally important for young people. SB 152 will make too much of that privacy impossible. Third, the law will endanger the privacy of all Utah users as it requires many sites to collect and analyze private information like government-issued identification for every user. This will lead to large platforms, many of which have been regularly critiqued by Utah's elected officials for harvesting private data, collecting even more of it. And this is the part I would have a problem with. If my state, I'm in Michigan, if my state said from now on, every single social media outlet must verify the age of every single person using it by providing, you know, government-issued ID, I'm not too happy about providing information to, I don't know, Facebook and YouTube and whoever else out might be there that I use every single day, like, you know, TikTok. And, oh, and MySpace. And I understand that they've already got a lot of that information that they've, you know, grabbed along the way. But when you actually say, no, but you're mandated by law to give them that information, that's stepping it up a notch that I'm not comfortable with. Fourth, the law will interfere with the broader public's First Amendment right to receive information, requiring that all users in Utah tie their accounts to their age and ultimately their identity will lead to fewer people expressing themselves or seeking information online. In addition, there are tens of millions of U.S. residents who do not have a form of government-issued identification. Those in Utah would likely be age-gated offline. And just think about the idea that you've got to give the social media platform your government ID to prove who you are, where you live, and what your age is. You think targeted marketing is happening right now when they know your exact date of birth and the county in which you live, for instance. It's going to open up the floodgates of advertising targeted at you because they know so much about you. Now, I have to tell you that Engadget then published a story a couple days ago. Carissa Bell wrote this, that the Utah governor has signed the bills that would upend how teens in the state are able to use social media apps. Under the new law, companies like Meta, Snap, and TikTok would be required to get parents' permission before teens could create accounts on their platforms. The laws also require curfew, parental controls, and age verification features. The laws could dramatically change how social platforms handle the accounts of their youngest users. In addition to the parental consent and age verification features, the laws also bar companies from using a design or feature that causes a minor to have an addiction to the company's social media platform. I've mentioned that one before in other contexts because there's always this debate about what makes something addictive. Now, I'm not talking about substances. I'm talking about platforms. And some people say, my kid is addicted to his smartphone. My kid is addicted to her Instagram account. And the question is, what makes it addictive? And I understand that there are people out there who study these things and will say things like, you know, when someone is typing on the other side of a conversation, but their words haven't appeared yet, but there's a little symbol there and there's some sounds being played and it says the other person is typing. That does kind of get you going, like, oh, I need to hang on and see what they're going to type and what they're going to say. And they, of course, have studied that, and they know that by putting that symbol there and those sounds there, it gets you to linger a little bit longer than you would otherwise. I understand that. But the question is, what if I say, for instance, that my kid just watches TikTok all day long because those darn videos are just so fascinating? Well, is that a feature or design that causes a minor to have an addiction? Because we also know that through the use of algorithms, they can figure out which videos are clicking with kids and send the videos to the kids they think they're going to click with. So that could be a design or feature that causes a minor to have an addiction to the platform. And so you're going to have some litigation on that particular language. For now, it's not clear how Utah officials intend to enforce the law or how they will apply to teenagers' existing social media accounts. Both laws are scheduled to take effect next March, so they got 1 year to figure this out. Now, I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. Let's say the law goes into effect on March 1st, okay? The first lawsuit accusing a social media platform of breaking the law will be filed at about 1 minute past midnight on March 1st, possibly a couple minutes later because they want to make it look a little better. And someone's going to say, yeah, my 10-year-old kid went on and signed on to an account at 12:03 on March 1st and got an account on TikTok or what have you and checked a bunch of boxes and didn't actually get my parental consent. So we're going to file a lawsuit against them. That's what's going to happen. And the question then becomes whether or not these things withstand scrutiny. I suspect that before the laws are implemented in that sense, you might get some legal challenges also. But you're going to get a lot of people hashing out what exactly all this means and what steps they could actually take. Meanwhile, the effect that social media can have on teens, particularly younger ones, has been in the spotlight for some time. Earlier this year, the Surgeon General said that 13 is too early, referring to the minimum age when most platforms allow teens to join. Lawmakers in Congress and in other states have also proposed laws that would limit teens' ability to use social media apps. And some people, particularly from my generation, are going to say, gee, aren't there parents involved in some of this? And interestingly enough, when I make that statement, I get two schools of thought that weigh in immediately. And I get the people who jump in and go, Steve, you don't understand how it is today. You cannot get your kid off of social media no matter how hard you try. It cannot be done. It is impossible. It's a task that parents cannot perform. I also then get a group of people who say, Steve, you're 100% right. Parents should deal with that, and they should take steps to control what their kids do, the same way that our parents would walk into the room and say, turn that TV off and do your homework. Put that phone down and do your homework, or whatever it might be. And so instead of yelling at me about this, because I'm purposely letting you know, I'm just the attorney who's explaining to you how the law works and what I think is going to happen in the future. We'll see. I'm not here for parental advice. I'm not here for parenting tips. I don't think too many people will tune into my channel to say, gee, I wonder what golden parenting tips will Steve have today? If you tuned in here looking for parenting tips, you're doing it wrong. Ask your kids. Bill sent me the story. Thank you very much, both from the Electronic Frontier Foundation and Jason Kelly. and Engadget Carissa Bell. The Utah governor has signed into law the social media regulations bill. It goes into effect in 1 year. We will see what happens. Questions or comments and parental tips, put them below. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Prison is just one word to you, but for some people, it's a whole sentence.